Well, take your Bibles out once again and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 as we continue this sermon series, Keeping a Gospel Perspective in 2022. The main lesson that we're carrying with us, we need to keep this gospel perspective in order to persevere in ministry proclaiming Jesus Christ. Last Sunday, we looked at the first two points of this sermon series in verses 1 through 12. The first was this: we minister keeping this gospel perspective. We are God's proclaimers of Jesus Christ. That is, we should keep a proclaiming perspective. Did you keep that perspective this week? That wherever you go may have been an opportunity, a possibility that you were to proclaim the gospel, proclaiming perspective. Secondly, we saw that when we minister, keeping this gospel perspective, we minister in God's power. So we keep a powerful perspective. Remember, is the power our own? No. The power is in the gospel. And so we should keep a powerful perspective that we're not just sharing human words, but we're sharing supernatural words that are enlivened with the very power of God. So God houses that power, as Paul said, in earthen vessels. You remember that? In earthen vessels. And so that's where we left off last week. We just saw that the difficulties of this life, really what we're going to learn this morning is that they are going to fade in comparison to the glorious estate of heaven, which will be our eternal home. And that thought, I hope, will keep us having a gospel perspective in 2022. When James Calvert went out as a missionary to the cannibals of the Fiji Islands, the ship captain tried to turn him back, saying, quote, "You will lose your life and the lives of those with you if you go among such savages," to which Mr. Calvert replied, "We died before we came here." You see, that's a gospel perspective. That's a gospel perspective. James wasn't merely just a man of the gospel, but he was a gospel man. He was enlivened, imbued with the gospel, and he had to share it, and that was the perspective that he kept. It reminds me of something that James Eliot once said. He said this: He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. And so this morning, I want to place in your hearts and in your heads that we need to keep a gospel perspective in 2022. That needs to upright our ship. That needs to center our lives. It needs to be the distinguishing thing about us that makes us who we are. And we are gospel people. That's who we are, gospel people. So this morning, we're going to look at points number 3 and 4. And the third thing that we see here as gospel people is that we're to have a paradise perspective. Point number 3, we minister keeping this gospel perspective. We minister knowing we'll be in God's presence. Do you remember what Jesus told the thief on the cross? Today you will be in paradise. And wherever God is, listen, that's paradise. And we need to keep that perspective, a paradise perspective. Look at verse 13 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. This is what God's word says to God's people. "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed, and so I spoke." That's Paul quoting Psalm 116, verse 10. "We also believe, and so we also speak." There's that proclaiming perspective. "Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus," now look, "and bring us with you into his presence," into the presence of God. "For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Once again, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that when we turn to it, we can trust it, that it is indeed your very word, that you gave it to us by the Holy Spirit's inspiration into the human writer's heart and minds, and that they wrote down exactly what you wanted them to write down, and therefore it is infallible, it is inerrant, it is good, it is to help us grow in our faith, to learn more and more what it's like to be a person who keeps their eyes on the unseen, bypassing the transient things of this world. Lord, we thank you that this morning we can turn to it unashamedly. Open your word, read it, and study it. And Lord, today I just ask this simply, that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a taste for the wonderful glory of your word, the treasure that it is. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are to keep a paradise perspective. Paul has the same spirit of faith as the Old Testament writer of Psalm 116:10. He says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak. You see, it is that spirit of faith that helps us trust what to say. It's that spirit of faith that enables us to persistently proclaim the gospel in times of persecution without watering the gospel down. It's that spirit of faith that we must all have in 2022 if we're going to be proclaimers of the gospel. You got to believe what you say or you're not going to say anything. So do you have faith in the gospel? Do you have faith that it is the power of God for salvation for all those who believe, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile? Do you trust that the gospel is the very word of God? Do you believe it in your heart and in your head? And if you trust it, if you believe it, just as the psalmist spoke it, just as the psalmist spoke the word of God, just as Paul spoke the gospel of God, so will the people of God speak the gospel of God. You know, one person said that one of the reasons why Christians are so hesitant about proclaiming the gospel is simply because they don't have enough faith to believe it. We don't believe that it is imbued with the power of God. Sadly, that is probably true more times than not. You know, another person said this, that Paul spoke the word of God because he firmly held the word of God, and that the word of God firmly held him. He believed it. He trusted it. He proclaimed it. Warren Wiersbe writes, true witness for God is based on faith in God, and this faith comes from God's word. Nothing closes a believer's mouth like unbelief. So Paul's believing trust in God and in his word led him to write these words in verse 14. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. Paul knows that ultimately his destination is to be in the presence of God. And that is paradise, my friends. That is the gospel perspective that we must minister with, that we keep this paradise perspective. Sometimes we're so earthly minded that we're no heavenly good. And we've got to keep in mind, church family, that just as God raised Christ from the dead, so he will raise us from the dead and we will be with him someday. We have a lot to look forward to, church family. We have paradise to look forward to. This will be paradise regained for God's people. Do you believe that? If you believe that, that will shape the way you look at life. That will shape the way you live your life. That will shape what you say in life. You got to keep that paradise perspective. Remember, Paul said this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. He said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." To die is gain. He goes on to say, "If I'm to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me." You see, he knew heaven was gain, so he could continue to have fruitful labor for the Lord while he was in the flesh. Because he had his eye not on the things of this world, but on the things of eternity. Church family, what we believe about the future, about our personal futures, will undoubtedly impact how we live in the present. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 and following, John reveals this wonderful, magnificent truth about God's people's future. He writes, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. Get this, but we know that when he appears, Christ appears, we shall be like him." Woo! Now somebody say, "Well, Pastor, what does it mean to be like him?" I'm not sure in its entirety, but I know it's pretty doggone good. Amen. Amen. You know that in heaven I'll be the closest I've ever been like Jesus in my whole life. That's something to look forward to. How many of you guys pray, "Lord, let me be more like you"? Well, guess what? One day you will be like him. Now, don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying you're going to be divine. You know, we're not more. We don't hold Mormon theology that each one of us will be a God someday. We won't be. We won't be gods. But in some way, the scriptures reveal that we're going to be like Jesus Christ, like we've never been before. And that's a whole lot to look forward to. Amen. That's that paradise perspective that we've got to keep so that we will be proclaimers of the gospel today. We got something to look forward to, a wonderful future, and it's secure. But in the present, as we keep that paradise perspective, we must not fear to minister the gospel. In verse 15, Paul gives us another motivating factor to keep a gospel perspective of the future while we minister in the present. He says this, verse 15, he writes these words, "For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." So Paul's end game is that God would be glorified. That's Paul's end game. And how does that work? Well, as we speak the gospel, as we proclaim the gospel, God uses that and he extends his grace to more and more people. In other words, more and more people are saved through this powerful gospel that is meant to be spoken. And as they are being saved and as more and more people are saved by God's grace, more and more thanksgiving goes up to God. And so he is more and more held in high regard, and he is more and more praised, he is more and more thanked as more and more people are saved from the treacherous life that they once lived. Aren't you glad that you're a sinner? Yeah, Pastor, I'm really glad about that. Let me rephrase that. Aren't you glad you're a saint? I'm so thankful to be a saint, not by anything that I've done or deserve, but purely by the mercy and grace of God. And I'm thankful that each Sunday morning I get to speak the gospel. And each day of my life, there's an opportunity to speak the gospel that more and more sinners become saints to the glory of God. What a wonderful perspective to keep in 2020. Amen. A paradise perspective moves us towards that proclaiming perspective. Like Paul, our ultimate goal in life is that God is glorified. And he is glorified more and more as we keep a gospel perspective of proclamation. And knowing that one day we're going to end up in the presence of the Lord while we minister through proclaiming the gospel today and take some hits and some punches from the secular world. Well, that's okay. As we'll see in just a moment, that's light and momentary. And so we keep this, we need to keep this gospel perspective so that at the end of this life for those in Christ, we have just this absolute assurance, this indescribable, irrefutable, undeniable joy, because we're going to be in the very presence of God, in his very presence. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so we minister keeping this perspective in sight, that we minister knowing that we'll be in God's presence. Paradise perspective. One moonlit night, a grandfather took his small granddaughter out to look at the stars. The stars were shining brilliantly that clear night. And as the grandfather named individual stars and constellations, his granddaughter interrupted him for a moment and said, "Grandpa, if the bottom side of heaven is this beautiful, just think how wonderful the top side is going to be." Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a great thought? You see, keeping this gospel perspective in 2022, that everything we do for the Lord, every sacrifice we make to share the gospel, is worth it for this reason alone. One day we will be whisked away from this earth and we will be found in the very presence of God. And that's paradise. Wonderful thought, is it not? You know what I think? I think too many of us watch too much TV. I think too many of us are now worshiping the God of COVID. I do. Instead of seeing a joyful bunch of people who know they're going to end up in heaven, you're worried about COVID. Well, what if you die? Where are you going to end up? Paradise. Now, I'm not saying that you should go out and do willy-nilly, do stupid stuff. God doesn't make stupid people. But I'm just saying, get your eyes off of COVID and put it on God. And find out that there is good news to share. And that is the gospel. And I think that just might lighten your load just a little bit. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. I came across a prayer that I wanted to share with you that this morning, that I shared with you this past week in our weekly or daily devotions, and it hits the nail on the head for this paradise perspective. Listen to this prayer, if you would, for me. Gracious Father in heaven, I know not when thou wilt call me home, for in the midst of life we are in death, regardless of the number of my days on earth. Calls me always to be prepared to answer thy summons. I know that the road of my life leads finally to thy heavenly mansions above. Equip me for the trials and pitfalls that beset my way through life, and teach me to perform in thy holy name each duty which confronts me. Remind me daily that I am a pilgrim without a continuing city here. And help me to assist my fellow travelers by sharing their burdens and showing them the glory of life in thee. Whether my pathway leads to hilltops fair and high, or through the sunless valleys where the shadows lie, it matters little. For I know that thou art with me, and that underneath are thy everlasting arms. Where thou dost lead me, I shall gladly go. O guide me unerringly on life's uncertain way here to my heavenly homeland there. In Jesus' name, amen. Point number four. Not only do we keep a paradise perspective, but we also keep a persevering perspective. So point number four is this: we minister keeping this gospel perspective. We minister perseveringly bound for glory. So we have this persevering ministry, this persevering perspective. Look at verse 16 with me as I read these verses to you. So we do not lose heart. Now, if you recall from last Sunday, Paul began chapter 4 with basically those very same words. So he's like bookending the chapters with that thought. Now, he shared those words in the very same chapter as we divide up the Bible. So do you think that's sort of important? I think that's sort of important. And what it says to me is that I should not lose heart, but I should persevere while on earth proclaiming the gospel as I look forward to paradise. Amen? Persevere. Let's keep reading. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For now listen, this light momentary affliction. Now you got to understand the context here. Paul was a believer who was imprisoned many times, beaten many times, left for dead, shipwrecked. I mean, if there was a man who was persecuted for what he believed to the nth degree, it was Paul. And Paul says here, these are light and momentary afflictions. He's either crazy by this time or he's on to something. And I think he's on to something. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Talking about heaven again. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Now, I just want to add this. You don't have to pay me anything extra for it. Are you listening? COVID is transient. The gospel is eternal. As I said, like bookends, Paul says in the first verse of chapter 4, and this 16th verse, so we do not lose heart. That is, we don't get fearful, we don't lose our courage, we don't lose heart. We don't lose heart in what God has called us to do. God hasn't called us to the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong message. Don't fear that. Have faith. It's the right place. It's the right time. It's the right message. So don't lose heart. Don't doubt what you know to be the truth based upon God's word. Have faith. Have faith. Trust the Lord. Don't lose heart that God is not wrong, but that God is right. And that He's got the whole thing under His power and in His control. And the one thing that He wants us to know that is under His control and His power, everything under His control and His power, He wants us to know this: proclaim the gospel. Proclaim the gospel. Speak the gospel to people. That's what He wants us to know. Proclaim the gospel. Persevere in proclaiming the gospel. And remember what I said last week. Don't get the task confused with the turnout. What is our goal? What is our job? To speak the gospel. What is God's job? To save the sinner. Leave the saving to God. He leaves you the speaking. So persevere in that. Know that you're spreading good news. And persevere in that. Don't lose heart in the gospel. Paul says that in the second part of verse 16, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. In other words, though our bodies, our flesh, is decaying, just as those earthen vessels that he spoke about earlier in chapter 4, the thought of heaven, it becomes more and more beautifully vivid. The things that are unseen become more important than the things that are seen. That we're being renewed day in and day out, our perspective changes. Our life changes. And the things of this earth begin to grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. And so, while we're decaying in one sense, we're being renewed in another sense. I'll soon be 57 years old. A very young man, praise the Lord. Amen. I remember when I turned 50. I know I don't look 57. So. Just the beard, right? I remember when I turned 50, and then I turned 51, and you know what the thought that came to my mind was? I have fewer birthdays left than I've ever had. I am getting that much closer to heaven. And there was just joy that flooded my soul. And the older we get, the more these earthen vessels decay. Amen. But the sweeter the thought of heaven becomes. And I think, Lord, You've given me a sweet life on earth, but it's nothing compared to what heaven's going to be like. So I'm renewed day by day because I know I'm bound for glory. If you are, can you give me an amen? Amen? You see, as you keep those thoughts in mind and that perspective, even though the knees hurt more and more and the shoulders don't do like they used to, my heart, my mind is renewed day by day. The sweeter the Word of God becomes to me, the more real it is to me. Because I'm like, you know, this earth's fading away. And the unseen is becoming more and more a focus. And that keeps me going. How about you? That revs my engines to say, you know what? I don't have as much time as I used to. I better do the best with what God's given me for His glory. And so I'm renewed day by day. You know, and honestly, I'm sort of glad I don't have to take this body to glory. Whew, I am sort of glad I don't have to take it with me. I have a heavenly body that's awaiting me. Behold, the flesh will give way to the immortal. And I'm so thankful for that. So the body that God has given us, it houses who we are. Remember, this body is not who you are. It just houses who you are. The who of who you are is what's contained in it. It's the spirit. You see, the body deteriorates, decays, it goes to the grave, and you live on for eternity. And so we're renewed day by day. You know, Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, He said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." So don't fear those things, because your soul is kept in God's care. And this is the perspective that we need to keep as we labor for the Lord. It helps us to persevere. Notice this also. Paul gives us another reason for not losing heart in verse 17. He says, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." And so basically what Paul is saying is the afflictions that we go through for Jesus' sake, the afflictions that we go through as a result of proclaiming the gospel and taking the hits for proclaiming the gospel, those things are light and momentary. They're temporary, in other words. They're insignificant. They're light. And it's working in us. Those things are working in us. Those afflictions of ministry, they're preparing for us an eternal, which means always, wait, significant thing here of glory. Wonderful. And Paul says, basically, there's no comparison that can be made between the light and momentary afflictions that we go through in this life and the eternal weight of glory. Couldn't give a comparison in that. How do you compare earth with the glory of heaven? There's no words, really, for that. And so, as Dr. MacArthur says, there is a direct correlation between suffering for Christ's sake in this life and glory in the next. The more affliction that we go through for the sake of Jesus' name, the more glory awaits us in heaven. And so we keep that perspective that we persevere, we minister perseveringly, bound for glory. And so this life that we're living now is really just a blimp on the radar screen of eternity. That's all it is, a blip. Paul's final reason for not losing heart is found in verse 18. Look there with me real quick. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Now, that's one wonderful perspective, is it not? He never allowed the temporary trinkets of this short life keep his focus. Instead, his focus was on the unseen things of eternity. And isn't that a wild thing to think about? He kept his focus on things he couldn't even see. But they held his attention, even though he couldn't see them. They captured his gaze, in other words. As Colossians, Paul writes in chapter 3, verse 2, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. And that's so that we don't lose perspective about life. That we keep the right gospel perspective. And because Paul focused on the eternal rather than temporary, he could minister perseveringly the gospel bound for glory. One of the early explorers of South Africa's ocean waters, and I'm going to get his name wrong, Bartolomeu Diaz, something like that, went around a cape on a stormy sea. His ship threatened to go to pieces, and so he called the place the Cape of Storms. Now, you may know this name, Vasco da Gama. You heard that? He came later. He changed the name to the Cape of Good Hope, for he saw not the storms, but the jewels and treasures of India that awaited. You see, it's all about perspective. It's all about perspective. We could keep our perspective low. Boy, things are rough now. Inflation's terrible. COVID's everywhere. Everybody's getting sick. Probably another variant's going to come through or this, that, and the other. We could keep our minds on these lowly things. Or we could keep our minds set on the unseen things of heaven, paradise, and keep this gospel perspective that, hey, my attention shouldn't be on those things, but my attention should be on proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of perspective. Gospel people keep a persevering perspective. Now, do you have a gospel perspective? Do you? You see, you're bound for glory. Persevere in proclaiming that ministry in 2022. Well, we've learned four things about a gospel perspective from chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. It's a proclaiming perspective. It is a powerful perspective. It is a paradise perspective. And it is a persevering perspective. Now, let me close with a story. So if you don't pay attention at first, you won't get it at the end. So this is the ninth inning, coming to the last out, ball game's about over, all right? Everybody with me? Do I have your attention? Okay. There was a woman, she had taken a course in first aid. She was thrilled that she had taken this course because when she went back home to her study group, they were having a time of testimonials. And so she began to share her testimony. She said, "Let me tell you what happened. Out in front of my very own home, there was a horrible automobile accident. An elderly man, while driving, lost control, went over the curbing, and hit head-on into an oak tree. He was thrown out of his car, thrown onto the ground. His head was crushed like an eggshell. His life's blood was pumping out all over the asphalt. It was terrible. It was horrible." And she said, "But I was the first one on the scene, and I remembered my first aid. I remembered that if I put my head between my knees, I wouldn't faint." Now, church family, if there is a world that needs a first aid giver, it is the world that we live in. And you are a first responder for the help that every sinner needs more than any other help, and that is to hear the gospel. Now, let's not just sit in the pews in 2020 and, so to say, keep our heads between our knees. We have work to do in a world that desperately needs good news. You are the ones to respond. You are God's army. He has called you up for such a time as this. He has given you the weapons, and He has given you the message. Now, will you respond? I wish somebody would answer their phone. The gospel perspective is what you need to keep in 2022. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your many blessings. And we have heard some of those blessings today. And so I just pray now, Lord, that You will help us to remember Paul's Holy Spirit-inspired word, that we can keep this gospel perspective no matter what in 2022, that You will be glorified through the saving of sinners' lives by the proclamation of the gospel by Your people. In Jesus' name, amen.